Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church, and welcome to worship online with First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I am Pastor Lindsay, and it is wonderful to welcome you to worship this morning. We have great worship ahead of us with songs of praise and scripture and prayers. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the scripture passage of Jesus meeting the disciples back out on the water as they are out fishing again, doing something very familiar that the disciples enjoyed doing. Well, I'm so glad that you are here, that you've tuned in to social media or found us on YouTube, and I would encourage you to share this worship service because there's probably somebody in your social media circle that follows you that would love to find this worship service. You probably can think of somebody that is looking for a new spiritual home, and we would love to be that place. So if you just take a moment and share this video on Facebook and YouTube, we would love to connect with them. Here at First United Methodist Church, we seek to know God and love God and serve God, and there's lots of ways to do that. So we'd encourage you to fill out our connection card. If you go to www.brightonfumc.org and click on our worship, then you're going to find our connection card. And by filling out that connection card, it gives us up-to-date information, and it also gives you an opportunity to check the boxes on what you'd like to get better involved in or what you'd like to learn about. So please take a moment to do that. Also, I would encourage you to visit our Caring Ministries page and maybe submit a prayer request. We would love to be praying for you and your loved ones and your family members at this time. So if you have special prayer needs or if you'd like to visit with one of the clergy, we would love to do so. Well, now with those things shared, we now turn our hearts to a time of praise. And again, welcome to worship on this glorious day.
One, two, one, two.
Stand on
unaffected by the chaos. We will stand no matter what the cost. No more worry, no more fear. Every doubt will disappear. We will stand unaffected by the chaos. We will stand no matter what the cost. No more worry, no more fear. Every doubt will disappear. No more worry, no more fear. Every doubt will disappear. Let our faith become a mountain that will rise and never fall. Lift it high above the valley. We declare your kingdom come. We will cling to what you promised till the day you call us home. Let our faith become a mountain that will rise and never fall. Lift it high above the valley. Kingdom come. We will cling to what you promised till the day you call us home. Let our faith become the mountain we stand on. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Risen Lord, we thank and praise you for living among us, dying among us, and raising from death among us. We thank you for appearing to the disciples so they could testify to your living presence. Open our eyes to see when you are working in our lives and give us faith to trust in your word. Help us to follow in your footsteps. In your name we pray. Amen.
I have made. I my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then Christ shall come with shout of
The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But that the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a time of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for your love and grace that you've poured out upon us this day. New every morning, God, is your mercy made known to us and given to us freely as a gift through Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for this worship time. Thank you for church community that walks with us on this journey. Thank you, God, for your call upon our lives to serve and to love you. Now, Holy One, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. Oh, you God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen. As we read the scripture this morning, Peter took the lead and he announced that he was going to go out and go fishing. So remember, prior to joining Jesus for 3 years in ministry, many of the disciples were fishermen. Certainly James and John, Peter and Andrew, certainly they were all fishermen. We know this because they received their call to follow Jesus on the Sea of Galilee early in the Gospels. And as Peter took the lead to go fishing, I think it was really an attempt to get back to a normal routine of life. At this point, the disciples were probably craving something very familiar and known. You know, why did they crave something familiar and known? Well, they had just experienced the events, what we call Holy Week. They had just experienced the Last Supper and the crucifixion and the report from Mary that Jesus had resurrected from the grave. And they had just experienced him appearing to them two times in the upper room as they hid out in fear, not really knowing what might happen next to themselves. As they experienced these strange events for them, the death of Jesus, his appearance to them twice in the upper room, I think they must have wanted life to return to normal. They must have craved that. When you crave life to get back to normal, what is it that you crave? What is it that you do? Do you call a friend? Is there something in particular you like to do? Well, for the disciples, for this group of men, fishing was familiar. Fishing was known. They knew fishing. They knew the seashore. They knew the comfortable peace of being out there on the lake. Fishing could bring them peace. It was their old familiar career before they served Jesus, and they were good at it. They were experts at it. It was part of their family trade. They were trained in it. They were good at fishing. They knew the water. It was one place where they could feel comfortable and confident and safe in what they were doing in a time when their life had experienced a lot of changes and ups and downs and unexpected moments. You know, perhaps you can relate to the disciples and longing to return to your old familiar routines. Even a year plus into this pandemic, many people are still finding themselves this longing to return to normal. If you've ever felt this, then you can relate to the disciples when they longed for life to be normal again as they tried to sort through these events of Jesus' death and resurrection and his appearance in the upper room. When life brought forth unexpected circumstances for the disciples, and like us with a pandemic, man, it's typical to want to find ourselves doing something familiar and comfortable. And so the disciples hit the sea with their nets in hands. They hopped in the boat. They began that evening out on the waters for a catch of fish. But something crazy happened out on the water. The very thing that they were good at, the very thing that they were comfortable doing and familiar with, turned out to just be an exercise in frustration. All night long, they caught nothing. No fish, not one. And it wasn't until the morning, when the sun began to rise, did they get a tip from some unidentified person out on the shoreline. This unidentified person, unrecognized person, said, "Hey, throw your net to the right side of the boat and see what happens." Well, I don't know what was going through the disciples' minds at that point. Tired and sleepy-eyed and frustrated. Perhaps some of them were rolling their eyes. Perhaps some of them felt hopeless and hungry. Perhaps some of them figured, why not? And so taking this person's advice that they didn't recognize yet at that point, they tried the other side of the boat. And you know what? To their surprise, it worked. They began to catch fish. 153 of them, to be exact, the other side of the boat. Why hadn't they tried that before? Of course. Try the other side. They shouldn't get stuck in their ways. They needed to shake things up. They needed to try a different approach. Do you ever find yourself saying, "Oh, we've never done it like that before. We've never done it like that before at school, at work, with your family and friends, at church"? Do you ever find yourself being kind of resistant to change? Lots of people struggle with change. As we've lived our lives in different ways, navigating through this pandemic, we've certainly made adjustments this past year. We've experienced a lot of change. I wonder how the disciples felt in casting their net to the other side of the boat. I wonder if some of them were resistant to making that change. Our church, of course, alongside many others, we've also made adjustments and changes this past year. We worship, of course, in person, but we're also worshiping online. Many of our small groups and UMW circles are on Zoom, and our youth group gathers on Zoom. We're doing things differently these days. Some ministries have returned to more normal or what they used to look like before the pandemic. The Prayers and Squares ministries back in the building, the bell choirs rehearsing during the weekday in the building, the praise bands meeting on Sunday nights. But quite a few of our small groups and ministries are still embracing new approaches to doing ministry and meeting online and doing what feels comfortable for them. And that's great too. Like the disciples, we've had to change the way we do some things. But in changing the way we've done things, we've still been able to continue to be the church. And we've still continued the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. As the disciples cast their net and did it differently and began hauling in that 153 fish, it wasn't then long until they recognized this unidentified person as Jesus, and celebrations rang out, and there were cannonballs into the sea, and there was a race to the seashore to meet Jesus as they wrapped up this morning of now successful fishing. And next came breakfast on the beach and some fresh bread. Oh, this is a great story. Find this scripture passage filled with such hope. You know, just as the disciples were tired and frustrated and exhausted and hungry, some people call that hangry, you know, Jesus showed up. Just when life seemed dim and hopeless and seemed to be lost, and they were hungry and tired and frustrated, Jesus showed up. And when we think about the days before this passage, when we think about all of this, when we think about the events that took place surrounding this fishing story and this breakfast on the beach, we can remember that this narrative about Jesus showing up and bringing hope continues. What do I mean? Well, let's look back more fully. Remember, Jesus came to Mary Magdalene in her grief at the tomb, bringing hope. And Jesus came to the disciples in their fear in the upper room as they hid out, bringing hope. And Jesus returned to the upper room again a week later to meet Thomas in his doubt, again bringing hope. And then Jesus came to the disciples in their daily life as they fished at the sea, again bringing hope. And in these times of fear and grief and doubt and daily living, Jesus kept showing up for the disciples, and each time he brought hope. Things had changed. Things were different. But he kept showing up and he kept bringing hope. Just when we thought that Jesus had been crucified and died, they learned that he had resurrected. And when he kept then appearing to the disciples, he kept showing up in their times of need, grief, fear, doubt, daily living and fishing, they were there. And so I love this passage. I hope that you read this passage and find as much joy and passion out of this passage, because this simple reminder that Jesus kept showing up for the disciples and he keeps showing up for us, offering us hope, is amazing. And that's what we need to hear this day. Maybe you can relate to the disciples and you feel like Jesus has shown up for you in your times of need, not only this past year, but throughout your life. But maybe you feel like Jesus is really distant. Be honest with that feeling if that's you. Name it. Feel that lament. Embrace that. Maybe you're wishing and hoping that you would hear Jesus call out to you from the seashore. And if you're feeling like Jesus has been pretty quiet or distant, I hope that you will begin to feel his presence. And I hope that you will begin to know that he's here for you. As the disciples fished all night and they caught nothing, I wonder why that was. Not one little fish. Perhaps the fish weren't biting. Perhaps they hadn't been a part of the right side of the lake. the right region of the lake. Perhaps there was an issue with their nets. Whatever the case, I've been thinking that perhaps the disciples were kind of distracted that evening out on the water, and they were struggling to really focus on their fishing. Perhaps they had been really distracted, and perhaps they had been stressed out and unable to think about all of the stuff and think about all of the moving to another part of the lake or adjusting their nets. Maybe they hadn't thought about that. You see, as the disciples were trying to process Jesus' appearance to them now two times in the upper room and trying to process his resurrection and trying to process what it means to continue his ministry, they probably had a lot on their minds. They were probably easily distracted. I could imagine that it would be quite distracting to just focus on the fish out there with so much on their minds. Have you felt distracted this year? Perhaps you've had a lot in your mind. Maybe you found yourself watching more news late at night or worrying late at night or scrolling through social media randomly in the day or late at night. Perhaps you found yourself awake at night, rightfully so. Sometimes when we have a lot on our minds, it's harder to focus on what's before us. It's harder to concentrate. It's harder to hear that still small voice of God. If you've been waiting for Jesus to show up and offer some hope in your life right now, I pray that you might hear that still small voice. I pray that you might notice that he's with you. But sometimes if you're like me, it's hard to notice it when we're distracted and there's so many distractions these days. Like he was there for the disciples, Jesus is there for us too. And the seashore, the shoreline, it might feel far out into the distance. It might feel like he's calling out to you far away, but he is calling out, throw your net to the other side of the boat and see what happens. So see what happens. If you listen for that voice and see what happens if you spend a few moments in him with him in quiet prayer each day. See what happens if you open your scriptures and you start reading through the Gospels of Matthew and then move on to Mark and Luke and John. And see what happens if you join one of our small groups or our UMW circles for some fellowship and study. And see what happens if you call a friend and see how they're doing and ask how you might pray for them. See what happens if you reach out to a family member. When the disciples were in the middle of the water, struggling for any fish, the greatest fisherman of them all wasn't too far away. He's there for us too. And he's excited to help you bring in that 153 haul of fish if we might listen and if we might hear that still small voice. I've been thinking a lot about what it might mean to fully and completely get back to life as normal. I thought about that recently. I thought about this past year. What might life fully look like as we get back to normal? The disciples were trying to get back to normal. What might life fully look like to get back to normal? You know, in a lot of ways, my life has returned to normal. My kids are in school. We're worshiping in our sanctuaries and online. I'm able to get out for some takeout and to bring it home and enjoy it with my family. I was even able to see my parents as they recently visited from Nebraska. But in some ways, life is not fully back to normal. In some ways, the longing for the familiar and the comfortable is so enticing. Perhaps you're still longing for life to get back to normal if you're not fully quite there yet. The disciples sure wanted things to get back to normal. That's probably why they were out fishing. But the thing is, there's a lot of ways in which I kind of hope we don't return fully to life as normal. Before the pandemic, it was normal for children to go hungry and for families to live on the streets. And before the pandemic, it was normal for racism and homophobia and sexism to fill our communities. Before the pandemic, it was normal for persons to walk into the doors of wonderful churches across the country, but experience judgment or an unwelcomed spirit because of who they are or who they love. In a lot of ways, we shouldn't fully return to life as normal before the pandemic, because for lots of people, returning to normal means picking back up crazy busy schedules, living lives so packed to the brim with activities and obligations and commitments that they don't have time for families or friends, and they hardly have time for Jesus. Do we really want to return to fully back as normal? For a lot of people, returning to normal means hopping back in that rat race and leaving very little time for the things that matter, and making it even harder to hear that still small voice of God call out to us on the seashore. If it ever feels like God is silent, perhaps we don't need for God to shout all the more loudly. Perhaps we have to stop and pause and listen. Perhaps we have to slow down and take away the distractions. In a lot of ways, I think we shouldn't fully return to life as normal before the pandemic. But if we don't return to normal, then what? I think we transform. I think we become better. I think we allow the grace of Jesus Christ to work in our hearts and minds. In the Wesleyan tradition, we call that sanctifying grace. We allow the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, to work in our hearts and our minds, to transform us, to change us, to mold us, to shape us, to become more and more like Jesus each and every day. I think we transform. I think we soak in the grace. I believe in a future filled with hope. I believe in God's kingdom made visible here and now on earth. I believe in a world where we work together for fighting hunger and poverty, and where no child goes to bed at night with a hungry belly. And I believe in a future where all of God's children are seen as beloved, where we leave behind the judgments and the criticisms of one another, and we see that we are united in Christ. I believe in a community where we can gather for worship and prayer and walk the city streets and feel safe and welcomed and loved, and where we don't put up boundaries and barriers of who's accepted or who's not, and instead we embrace the beautiful diversity of God's children. For we're all beloved in God's sight. Church, I believe in a future with hope. I think that's what's next. And why do I believe in such a future? Because I believe in a God of resurrection. I believe that God can transform the worst of things and bring forth new life. I believe that God can take those worst Good Friday moments, death on the cross, and transform it into bringing new life and new hope. I believe that death never has the last word, and I believe that God is this God of resurrection who offers us hope each and every day, and we don't just get to experience that hope. We get to be that hope for the world. Through that sanctifying grace that continues to mold us and shape us and help us to become more like Jesus as we walk in those footsteps, we get to be that hope in the world. When the disciples picked up their nets and had headed out to fish, they had no idea what was in store for them that day. As they went out to fish, they went to something that was familiar and back to normal, and yet in many ways their lives were going to be forever changed. Our lives will be forever changed by the pandemic too, and as the disciples put their nets in the water, they caught nothing that evening. Perhaps they were distracted, perhaps they were frustrated, perhaps they were unable to see clearly, and so they needed to rely upon Jesus more, the greatest fisherman among them, to give them guidance, to give them direction, if they hope to catch any fish at all. Maybe we need to rely upon Jesus a little bit more in our lives too. Maybe it starts with making time for him. As the disciples adapted their nets and were willing to move them to another side of the boat, they learned that making some changes in their lives wasn't so bad. Are there changes in your lives you need to make too? When the disciples picked up their nets and went fishing, yet again the risen Christ had come to meet them. Yet again he showed up to them, offering them hope in a time when they needed it most. So may you encounter and experience the risen Christ in your midst this day. There is hope. There is always, always hope. For Jesus is the risen Christ and the living hope of the world. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to share with you that we are going to be giving these two prayer quilts to Ellen and Sherry, and I invite you to join me in a time of prayer as we pray over these quilts as an extension of God's love for our brothers and sisters in this community. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may these quilts for Ellen and Sherry be a blessing, an extension of love and grace from our congregation into their homes. May they surround them with your steadfast love. May they comfort them during this time, and may they experience the grace and peace that comes through your Holy Spirit as they wrap themselves in these beautiful quilts. Amen.
Good morning, church. God is good all the time. Amen. Once again, I feel honored to be with you in worship this morning. Spring is coming, and I hope you have a chance to get out and enjoy some of the fair weather we got coming our way, to spend time with family and friends safely, and to enjoy your lives together. Now, please bow your heads and join me as we turn to God in a time of prayer. Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those struggling with confinement at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, struggling with financial burdens, struggling with health issues, and those that have lost loved ones. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of COVID-19, especially during the recent spike in our numbers. We know that you are here with us. During these times, it's important for us to remember that you are ever with us and will always be. When times look the darkest, you are our light. When we feel that there is no hope, you are our hope. When we feel alone and deserted, you are waiting there for us. When we feel down and broken, you are there to lift us up and restore our pieces. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. O God, your Son remained with his disciples after his resurrection, teaching them to love all people as neighbors. As his disciples in this age, we offer our prayers on behalf of the universe in which we live and our neighbors with whom we share it. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us, never leaving us alone. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we think we can handle it all on our own. Sometimes we take your goodness for granted. The disciples were in the boat fishing without luck. Jesus appeared and told them to cast their nets to the other side, and they caught an abundance of fish. Help us remember that when we are searching for answers, to turn to Jesus for help. That when we turn to Jesus and listen, our nets can be filled with joy and hope. That the answers to all of our questions can be found in Jesus' words. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who when asked to pray, said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I hope you have a pleasant day. Enjoy the rest of the worship. Remember, God loves you, we do too, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Friends, there are so many ways to respond to God's word in our midst, and one of them is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. We invite you, if you feel so moved, to go online and make a contribution to our church through our online giving portal. You can also text to give to the church if that's how you would like to give. We encourage you to take a moment and, if you're able to, make a contribution to the church. You could write a check even at this time and send it through the mail to get it to the church, or even bring it by in person. We're so grateful for all the incredible gifts that we've received and all the incredible generosity from members of our church in this community. We can't sustain the ministries that we do here at the church without your support. So thank you so much for your generosity and allowing us to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world today. I wanted to share with you that this Sunday, United Methodist Churches across the entire country are celebrating Native American Ministries Sunday. Some of you may know that the Methodist Church has had a fairly active role in Native American communities all across the United States. Some of us have made contributions to Native American ministries, supporting local churches on Native American territories, and continuing to support education opportunities for Native Americans in our communities. So we encourage you to make contributions to this special offering if you're able to do so, so that United Methodist can continue to partner with our brothers and sisters in the Native American communities to continue to do God's work in this world. Amen.
Thank you.
this time of worship, may you go forth with the love of God. May you go forth with the joy of Jesus in your hearts. And may you go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit, calling you and enabling you and empowering you to go forth in service and mission and ministry. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you this day and always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.
Thank you. is more than enough.